great to be back. I'm really excited to be here and be given this opportunity. Danny asked me to preach kind of out of the blue, but I guess it served me right since we sent him a letter out of the blue. Some of you may have gotten a letter, and I'll talk about that a little bit later. But you may not have known this, but it's been almost exactly a year since I preached my last sermon, which was here. So it's been a long time. I'm a little rusty, but again, like I said, I'm excited and maybe a little bit nervous, but I'll get over it. And you may not remember what my message was about. It was my final one. I believe it was actually at the beginning of March last year. But it was kind of along the lines of not having to work full-time ministry to make ministry a priority. And over the last year, I've actually had the opportunity to try and live that out. Since last March, I've worked a few different jobs. So when I resigned from here, it was awesome. Jeff Arding opened his company to me, and I ended up working for him. And quite frankly, if it wasn't for him, I don't think we'd have a house. Not because we didn't have money, but because I'm not going to go into the details, but just let's put it this way. Getting a mortgage is a lot harder than you would think, especially when you've never done it before. And anyways, so I was really thankful for that, really feel blessed by that. When Allie and I moved up to Squamish, I ended up working for a metal fabrication company doing drafting. So I would sit at a desk and make pictures of steel beams and for their shop drawings. It was these two jobs combined that just helped me solidify my dislike for the trades. And I realized that it wasn't just the labor part of it, it was just the whole idea of doing trades. I don't know, it's just not my thing. After that, I ended up, in August, I started working for Canada Post, and now I am a postman. So I deliver mail, and I know all the reasons why you don't get your mail on time. So I'm, like I said, I'm still working there, and while I believe it or not, there is a point to me telling you this, and as much as I'm sure you're all very interested in my career path currently, that's not the reason I'm telling you, just as an update. I want you to know that my time with work has not been easy. My transition out of full-time ministry has been challenging, to say the least. And it has really put the words that I spoke to you all over a year ago to the test. It's always been ingrained in me since I was a kid to strive to be anything I wanted. I think that's what we always do. We what do you want to be when you grow up? You know, little kids, right? I want to be a fireman. I want to go to space. And never ends up turning out that way. You know, they're never a fireman. Or I don't know any astronauts, but I know a lot of kids that wanted to be one. And even days ago, I actually received a call from my dad, and he just said, "What's your plan? You know, what's your plan? What's going on?" And I said, "What are you talking about?" And he went on and he said, "Well, you know, like what, you know, with it's great you're doing the male thing, but where do you want to go?" And you know, he encouraged me, you know, to maybe think about climbing the corporate ladder and maybe going a little further in Canada Post, maybe aim a little higher there, or maybe I don't want to do that and I want to transition out of school or into school and maybe get a master's in something and or maybe even return to full-time ministry. I understand his concern and I don't blame him for looking at it this way. You know, like I said, you know, we all have that kind of mentality. What do you want to do? Even he would say to me, he's like, "Yeah, I worked." He was a BC Ferry captain for years. Like, so, and honestly, like, I know people that are like, "That's a sweet gig. You know, I would love to be a ferry captain." But he always said, "I felt like I sold myself short doing that." So there's always, there's this mentality of like, what do you want to do? I don't blame him for looking at it this way, but that's the exact mind frame that I've been trying to change since I've moved. Now, some of you might be wondering, well, why? Why does it matter? Like, why do you care if that's your mind? Isn't that good? Like, why would you want to challenge and change that way of thinking? Well, I think for two reasons that I'll tell you, and these are the ones I've thought about. There's probably more. But the first being, I don't want to nurture the belief that my identity is rooted or even partially rooted in what I do to make money. And secondly, while I was pastoring, I believe that the work we do for the kingdom of God is the most important work we will do in this life. And it doesn't mean that I have to be a pastor to make this my number one priority. But switching gears a little bit, I want to say that I believe if you are like me, there's probably nothing more you would want to see than some really awesome, powerful move of God. Not just in your lives, not just in this church, but like in this community. You know, maybe even beyond that, maybe the whole Lower Mainland, or even more than that. Let's go Canada, right? But that being said, I have often wondered, what is missing? Why is it that we don't see things like that happening? Acts 2:42-47 says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. That last part right there. And each day, the Lord added to their fellowship. And if you read the book of Acts, you know that this isn't the only place that this was said. It's actually said in Chapter 5:14, 9:31, and 16:5. When I was here on staff, I remember Danny always talking about wanting to see this. It would always be in prayer. You know, he'd always say, like, we want to see that baptismal tank full, and I'm pretty sure he wasn't talking about water. You know, we wanted to see people coming to know God, and then to be like a lineup of people wanting to get baptized. And call me crazy, but I don't think that's impossible. I believe that this is something that we can see. However, I do believe that there are a few things that are in short supply that are very important in order to see these things happen. Now, please know that before I continue, this is not going to be an exhaustive list. It's not going to be this, like, seven steps to victory in your community. It's not a cure-all. Like, hey, just correct these things and everything's going to change. But I believe that this is what God has been working on in my heart, and these are things that have become apparent to me over the last few months. So firstly, I believe it's very important to serve and sacrifice for the kingdom of God. There are certain things, as a pastor, I always used to hear in regard to service. The most common excuse for not serving that I've been told is, I don't have time. You know, followed by a list of reasons why they don't have time. Couple things here, let's be honest. Like, when something really matters to us, we find time. You know, I remember when I first started dating Allie, I found time to drive up to Squamish. There was other girls where I didn't want to drive down the street. I don't have time. I have to get in my car. It's just too much. not a good sign in a relationship, probably. But also, I think for me, what it was like, I don't really... You know, if you don't want to do it, that's fine. Find someone else or it won't happen. But even if I was convinced by that, I'm not the one that needs to be convinced. You know, like when we meet God in eternity, or you say, you know, I was just really busy with my work or my sports or whatever the case is, you know, like, he's going to be like, oh, okay, sure. Sorry, I didn't mean to. I actually saw that. I just didn't think about it. Another thing I heard a lot is, isn't that your job? Which is usually followed by my personal favorite, what do you do all day anyways? I cannot tell you how much I've heard that. What do you do all day? And sometimes it was genuine interest. Like, they actually thought, like, other than, like, you know, you hang out with youth Wednesday nights, and then maybe the occasional, like, I don't know, sometimes I feel like people believe, like, do you not think that any preparation goes into that? Or, you know, it's just kind of funny. And the great thing is, now that I'm not a pastor, I don't hear these things anymore. So it's, nobody says these kind of things to me. The truth is, getting a salary for ministry can be both a blessing and a curse. It is great to receive financial support to do this work. And what a privilege that is. But at the same time, it can create a mentality amongst others that it is the pastor's job to do all the work because he gets paid to do it. The point is, it's not just one man's responsibility to do the work of the kingdom. It is every person who commits their life to Christ's responsibility. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. What I disliked about the trades is that I had zero satisfaction about what I was doing. You know, they would come to me, it's like, look at this beam that I made off of your drawings. And I would go, yeah, that's nice. You know, and I'd think, like, I just could, like, for whatever reason, I don't know, it's been ingrained in me, that work I'm doing that has no eternal value just seems like, blech. You know, I just, and you might ask, well, what does delivering mail have eternal value? I am so focused on that all day long and getting done early that I don't even care. So that's how I deal with that. But but when we do things for God, we know that no matter what it is, it's not in vain. And thankfully, I think there are many in here that are currently serving some capacity. You know, that was a great thing. I appreciated so much the amount of people that were volunteering. I think if I express any frustration, it would be probably more with in the past what I've dealt with, where we had to pay volunteers, which is strange. And so I'm really thankful that there's a lot of people that serve in some capacity, whether it's in this church or it's in some other organization. And even I have rarely found rarely struggled with finding some way to serve God. It's always been something I wanted to do. But even more than that, it's not just about putting in our fair share and calling it a day. It's more about asking ourselves, what's really important to us? Like, what do we really care about? Luke 9:23 says, then he said to the crowd, if any one of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross daily, and follow me. And what this verse is saying is that it's going to be hard and challenging, but if we call ourselves followers of Christ, there cannot be anything that we say that we're not willing to do for him. Because usually it's that mentality that prevents God from working in our lives. You know, when we decide to serve God in some way, it is a step forward in saying that we are willing to sacrifice things that we want and that we desire, because we know that no matter how important things may seem to us, our service and sacrifice to God is so much more important. You know, and maybe some of us are sitting on that fence, you know. You know, maybe we just don't want to make that commitment because is too much responsibility. I would say that it's great having a lot of volunteers. Again, as a pastor, one thing that I struggle with is there's a lot of people that wanted to help, but not a lot of people that want to take responsibility. And when we do those things, when we move into those roles, it's saying, you know what, God, I think that you're more important than my wants or desires. And it's not about, like, really, it's not about helping me out. It's not about helping Danny out, or it's not about helping anybody out. It's about what do you value? Do you see the value and purpose of God's work? And what are you willing to do to make that happen? I said to my leaders before, it's like, if you think you're doing me a favor, then you can just go. And that might sound harsh, but like when you're in there with that mentality of I'm doing you a favor, it's really not going to go well. Again, it's not so much about the actual act of service as it is about the heart behind it. Secondly, it's very important to pray. Now, I know what you're thinking. Shocker. Right? Never heard that before. Pray what? Well, that's a new one. Yes, I know it seems obvious, and I know we say it all the time. We always say we need to pray, and it's tagged on to something. Make sure you pray. You know, yeah, I know. Right? But the truth is, this is probably one of my biggest struggles. And if I might say, I don't think I'm the only one that struggles with it. And it's not necessarily that we think like prayer, we like have this bad attitude towards it, it's just we just don't do it. You know, oh, I forgot, or I don't have time, or I don't know how, or I don't know what to do, or, you know, I pray for like 2 minutes and then I don't really know what else to pray for, so I just kind of, that's it. You know, whatever it is, this is kind of what goes through my mind sometimes. And for whatever reason, no matter how much I hear and tell myself how important it is, I rarely found myself doing it. And sometimes it would even get to the point where I scoffed at it, you know, and I found it hard to believe in its power. It almost became this thing that I do because, you know, it's the right thing to do, you should. But did I actually feel like something was going to change as a result of that? No, not really. Not all the time. And I think a lack of faith would be a nice way of putting it. I always find it funny, though, how superstitious people can be. As most of you know, I'm an avid sports fan. If you don't know that, I am an avid sports fan. I'm always hearing about different people doing different things because they believe that it can affect the outcome of a game. I listen to sports talk radio every morning. My commute is from Squamish to North Van, and the radio reception is terrible. I actually download an app so I can listen to TSN 1040 all the way from my house to work, okay? And I listen to it all the time. And there are people that call in and talk about their superstitious behavior. And even one guy called in, he is a diehard Canucks fan, refuses to watch a game. Will never watch a game. Because he thinks that if he watches a game, they will lose. He must be watching a lot of games this season. But the thing is that for him, he felt like if he avoided those games, if he avoided watching the games, and they won, then he felt a sense of accomplishment because he helped that victory come to pass. Did you know the Canucks won? I didn't, but I'm not surprised. I didn't watch the game. It sounds kind of absurd, right? It's ridiculous. That being said, I don't feel it's much different from putting too much faith in our programs and strategies to bring people to know Christ. You know, when it came to my ministry and we'd have meetings and stuff like that, we'd strategize and we'd look at things. We did these, like, I can't even remember what they're called now, but do you guys remember those? Whatever. We would strategize. We'd think, well, what can we do? How do we make this better? You know, this and that. And, oh yeah, we should pray. It was an oh yeah, not like a let's pray, guys. First thing, you know, it was an oh yeah. And even people who wanted to know about my ministry, it was, the questions I would ask would be things about like, what was I doing? Or what was my goal? Or how was I going to get to that goal? But rarely, if ever, did anyone really point blank ask me if I was praying about it. Because I guarantee you, if you did, or if somebody did, I'd be like, oh, yeah, of course. Of course I am, yeah. I'm okay. And then in my mind, I'd be like, I should probably be praying for that. Now, I'm not trying to, like, point fingers or anything like that, because I do the same thing. Like, I do that. But the truth is, no amount of strategizing or programming is going to be good enough without prayer. In Mark 10:27, when the disciples asked Jesus, who then can be saved? He says, with man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. And I don't know about you, but I've often treated prayer like a power boost. You know, like it accompanies my ideas to give them a better chance of working. Meaning, on occasion that I do find myself in prayer, it's in support of my already existing wonderful plan. This is not what prayer is about. Prayer is not about trying to make things happen as much as it's about recognizing that when things do happen, that it came from God and not by anything we have done. The more time we spend in prayer, the more we begin to realize His power. And I think that when we don't pray, we just naturally think it's because of our strategies and our programs, if some kind of success happened. Thirdly, it is very important to be humble in everything we do. Since moving to Squamish, both Allie and I have become involved with a ministry called Young Life. Now, if you don't know what that is, don't worry. At the end of the message, I'll give you kind of an idea, and I'll talk about it. I know some of you in here might have an idea what it is, but I'll talk about it more later. But recently in January, Allie has taken on the role of staff representative for Squamish. So essentially, she is in charge of the ministry in Squamish. And I've always been in support of her decision to take this on, but ever since that decision was made, it has put a strain on my pride. Obviously, I want to support my wife. And I thought I was doing that. But whether it was consciously or subconsciously, there was always this sense of, I know better. And I would never say that to her, but it was apparent enough, and she'd be the first to tell you that. You know, whenever an idea came across, well, don't you think it should be done this way? I think that would be best. It wasn't until recently when we as leaders went to a camp called Malibu for a leaders retreat that I really noticed it myself. While I wanted to go, I honestly felt there was nothing I could learn there. I mean, really, I have my degree, you know? I have 6 years of full-time ministry under my belt. What could I possibly learn from them? Needless to say, I think I needed to work on my humility. I honestly feel ashamed that I felt this way, and wouldn't you know it, as soon as I stopped being an arrogant jerk and went in with an attitude that wanted to learn, I actually learned something. I'm an instant, like action-reaction guy. If something doesn't happen right then, it's like it had no effect. I think that's probably why I don't pray a lot, or I used to not, is because if I didn't pray, I was like, what? It didn't work, you know? And the action reaction here was so instantaneous that I was like, wow, that had a huge effect. The fact that I went into one, thing, I was very critical of it, walked away with nothing, and then the next time I went into something, I was like, you know what, I'm going to give this a shot. And I learned tons. I took notes. I don't take notes. And I took notes. And then I shared those notes with other people. It was very weird. Philippians 2, 3-8 says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." What a challenging verse to read. Like God becoming man and then dying. Like crazy humility. And while I would love to think that I could be that humble, I am not. If you've ever thought, that Dustin's a humble guy, please don't, because I am not. And that is very condemning on my own character, and I might regret saying that later. But the point is that's something that I've recognized lately, and I want to change. It does not come easily. And it's not just an appealing character quality. It's not just this nice thing to have. In fact, it's discussed more than 72 times in the Bible. If you don't believe me, Google it. That's what I did. That's how I know. I believe it is important because when we are humble, we allow the Holy Spirit to move and change us, because no matter how much we think we know, we can always learn more and remain teachable. And like I said, this is not something I'm always good at. And I want you to know, even now, even though I'm up here and I'm saying this to you, I do not claim to have this figured out. This is, like I said before, this is simply the journey I've been on over the last while, and I've often found myself wondering and asking God, what needs to change to see you move in this community? Now, part of the reason why I came, why Danny invited me this morning is because Allie had to send this mission letter out to a number of people, and Danny was one of the recipients, and some of you in here may have received that letter. And so he came and he said, you can put in a, I don't want to call it a plug, but I don't know what else to call it for Young Life. So, but as I mentioned before, we live in Squamish. And what you may not know is that Squamish is the least church city in Canada. Since being there, I realized that between all the churches in Squamish, there are approximately 600 churchgoers, and that might be a generous number. I think when everyone that goes to that church attends, there's about 600 people. Not only that, but Young Life is the only Christian-based youth program in Squamish. Not a single church has its own youth ministry. Now, as promised, for those of you who don't know, Young Life is a parachurch organization that has a simple but specific philosophy of ministry. It believes that every youth has the right to know about Jesus. They base it off what they call the four C's. The first C is club, which is essentially a youth night. So Wednesday nights is when we operate as well. I know you guys operate on Wednesday nights here too. Or you guys still operate on Wednesday night? Okay, cool. So the club, and it's a little different in how it is run, but that's essentially what it is. Then the second C is contact work. It's basically meeting with youth outside of club. So that's part of their thing. Like, in order to be a leader, it is very recognized. It's understood that you meet with youth outside of club. and where they're at. You know, whether it's, you know, hockey game. I'm a pretty big skateboarder, so I go to the skate park all the time. that was funny. I don't know. I can't skateboard. And things like that. Or if you can, going to their high school. Third C is camp. A lot of our youth have been to Rockridge, and that's the big camp for Young Life. And it is a amazing camp with amazing time, and a lot of times there's a lot of youth that actually commit their life to Christ for the very first time at that camp. And then finally, campaigners, which is, it's like a more, it's for, it's, so all these other C's are kind of for people, youth that do not know Christ. They have no commitment to it, almost no connection to church. That's the gear. That's what those three other, the club, contact work, and camp are geared towards, those youth that do not know Christ. Campaigners is geared towards the youth that do. And the ones that have made a decision. And it's kind of about helping them grow in their faith, but at the same time, how do they do the work of God in their high school? How do they bring Christ to their friends? And actually, we were even doing that this morning. I hope I don't have any bacon grease or whatever, but we were up at like 6 a.m. this morning cooking bacon and pancakes for youth coming over to our house for campaigners. And then we left them all there with our other leaders, and I'm sort of nervous about it. And that's what we do. We have breakfast every Sunday morning, and then we do our campaigners thing. And then that way, for those, especially those who have made a commitment to knowing Christ recently and they come to this, then we say, hey, why don't you come to church with us now? You know, it's a great way to connect them to church. And I've not always been familiar with this ministry and the way it's run. In fact, when I was here, I was like, I don't even know what Young Life is. And in some ways, it's strangely opposite to how I've been taught. Like, I remember when I first started going, I was like, I don't know if this should be done like this, because it's kind of weird. I don't really feel, but at the same time, it kind of made sense. So I was like wrestling with this teaching and the idea. However, despite this, after being with this ministry for over 6 months, I can certainly see the value of having a ministry like this that acts as a bridge between the high school and the church. That being said, as much as I believe in this ministry and its process, I still believe that it will only go as far as God wants to take it. In other words, as great as it may be, it will be nothing without sacrifice, without prayer and humility. As I mentioned to you earlier, Allie has taken on directing the ministry, in this ministry in Squamish. And I want to conclude our message this morning by asking you all to pray. Pray for us. And I say this with great sincerity, because as long as I've been in Squamish, I realize, like, man, does this place need prayer. Because for the first time, I'm in a situation where I go, there's no strategy or programming that's going to save this place. This place needs prayer. That's what it needs, straight up. That was for you, Jared. but seriously, I'm very sincere about that, and I believe so much that God is the only one that can change the hearts of the people in that town. This is the absolute greatest thing you could do for us, and both Allie and I would appreciate it so much. But I would encourage you, I also encourage you to sacrifice, pray, and humbly serve and seek God. And I know that you will see him move in incredible ways in Ladner and beyond. Let's just close in prayer. God, thank you so much for just always being there, being with us, God, for being such a powerful God. And Lord, I pray, God, that we would spend more time doing this, spend more time crying out to you. God, that you would change our hearts and that we would just be willing to be changed. God, that we would put our desires away and we would sacrifice to do your work. And God, that we would be impressed, that impression would be put on our hearts to just want to serve you more, and that would become our priority, that we would just, whatever else in this, whatever, what can we take with us into eternity, God? That would be on our minds. Lord, we would start to see people change, friends, family, strangers, whatever. God, I just pray that your awesome power would be on display in our lives, in this church, and most of all, in the community, in the people who don't know you yet. Lord, I thank you so much for this opportunity that you given me to come here this morning, Allie and I both, to come here this morning and just talk about you and to spend time with such great people. And Lord, I pray that you would be with this church in Ladner. God, that you would fill them in their hearts, God, that this place would be an incredible light in this community. And that people be drawn to it because of they sense your love. God, they sense something different, and that they would want to come here and just feel your presence, God, and that you would change their hearts, Lord. And I pray that the people here would just desire to be changed by you and to see you change others. We ask this in your name. Amen.